Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Take a pause from last night's Monday Night Football games for a second to check in on what's going on with college football. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Impossible situation going on right now before the college football playoff starts, Pearl. And yesterday, Penn State head coach James Franklin outlined this because their starting quarterback, Drew Aller, decided to come back to college for 2025. Okay, nice. That's his right. So Drew Aller's coming back for another year with the Nittany Lions, but that means their backup quarterback, Bo Prabula, kind of has no choice in this day and age except to transfer. He's a sophomore, doesn't want to sit behind Aller anymore. There's a lot of money out there that he could make, so he had to enter the transfer portal, and that means you've got to be off the team. So he's been the backup. He's had to get into games at times, but this is sort of a no-win situation because this is all about next year, while this year is still happening for 12 teams.
Yeah. Now, this to me, this is bad, right? We all agree this is not ideal, but it's not the big one, which would be a starting quarterback sitting out, which I would think would be, by the way, like you look at the 12 teams, I'm sure there are quarterbacks who are calling their coach right now and says, if I don't get $4 million, I'm not playing in this 12-team playoff. Wow. I mean, maybe not that specifically, but you look at the quarterbacks, like they all have to consider, like Kevin Jennings at SMU, you don't think he's looking at a different program? Like he's got to get a new NIL deal. So do you pay him now? Just this bizarre kind of transfer portal, NIL free agency, like it affects deeply. And like I think they should be excited that no starting quarterbacks are sitting out because that it's got to be in consideration. I mean, if you're in one of these 12 teams, you can't wait because of the musical chairs of the quarterback spots. Like all the transfer spots are going to be gone. All the money is going to be gone by the time this is over.
So here is James Franklin. Manny, can I hear cut three? Because Franklin is basically saying, you know, Bo Prabula did not want to transfer their backup quarterback. He's from the area too, right? Isn't he like a, he's like a Harrisburg guy, I think. He did not want to transfer from Penn State, but he felt like he was left with no choice. And James Franklin is now questioning where is the leadership for college football that's putting these young people in this predicament.
Number one, I hate for it. Number one, most importantly, for Bo Prabula. I don't think it's in the best interest of the student athlete. I don't think it's in the best interest of college football. But I think that's our challenge right now, right? Who is really running college football and making the best decisions for the student athletes and for our sport as a whole? Bo should not be put in this position.
It's a great point. Franklin went on to say, Manny, can I hear cut four? What college football needs is a commissioner.
To have a transfer portal slash free agency going on right in the middle of the playoffs. There's just a lot of things that don't really make sense. And I know there's been a lot of discussions about, you know, maybe a commissioner of college football, but I think it's pretty obvious we need that.
Agree. Because college football is changing at such a rapid rate, Perloff, that you need somebody to come in, and whether it's going to be on an NFL model, you're going to have a commissioner and teams on one side, and then you're going to have labor and unions on the other side, and see if you guys can come to agreements in that way. At least somebody to get rid of the dumb stuff. Like, this is dumb. To have the transfer portal be open before the bowl games are over just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think they try to match it up with some of the academic calendars because we're still, you know, keeping up that ruse in major college football about school. But it doesn't even match up with all different schools. Some are in trimester, some are on semesters, some, you know, you're never going to please everybody that way. So why try?
So you realize what you're saying, though. You're saying you should have unions.
Yeah.
And you're saying you should have contracts.
Totally.
So then what you basically have is minor league football. You have, there's nothing college about any of that.
Are we not headed towards that way?
So let me ask you another question. Like, does an Alabama contracted football player have to attend the University of Alabama?
Well, we can hammer out those details. To me,
that's a pretty big detail.
Well, from the football side of it, I think is the bigger detail is, are these all one-year deals like what we have now in the transfer portal? Yeah. Does the 1 year include any postseason? Like, do you have to play in the bowl game as part of your contract? Is everyone going to negotiate a different type of contract? Is it going to be boilerplate and standard? Are there going to be standardized like salary caps and caps for each position, you know, all the stuff that has to get worked out to me before the, are they actually going to school?
No, it's not even that. I'm just saying you can't dip your toe in these little changes. You have to decide, are these pro athletes, full pro athletes under contract, or are they not? Like, you have, before you get a commissioner, before you get everything, you have to decide as a sport and the conferences and the administrators and all these guys, like, is it just pro? Is it just, or, but you can't, you're trying to piecemeal this and like, there's no like, just keep on doing half measures to like satisfy, like, make it pro or don't make it pro.
I have a thought on this. I think that if you still want the college affiliations, which I think is important, you know, to have your alma mater.
Of course, of course.
It's really important for the sport. I just think it is. What I think you do, if you go to college to play football at a Power Four or Group of Five, you know, however serious you want to make it with where you go, you enroll in a football program that includes the academic side. So what you do is you play football and you air quotes major in football. That means you take financial literacy classes. It means that you take all the things that you would need to be a full football player. That's the academic course. That's the, and it doesn't have to be the same amount of hours, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the way that an English major would go to college. But how about all the things that would support a college athlete? You major in football.
God, it's so funny. I've been hearing this idea, like, why aren't college football players taking accounting classes? Like, they're going to pay attention to any of that and know how to get out of here. They're 18-year-old kids. You put them in any accounting class, they're going to be just as bored as anyone else would be in an accounting class. I just don't think that idea, like, that's still a joke. College is to learn. If you're going to have them be students, be real students. But that's regardless of the point. Like, you understand what you're saying. Like, my alma mater, Dartmouth College of Men's Basketball, famously, it was a year or two ago now, tried to unionize.
Yep.
And it got passed by the National Labor Union Board. You know, have you noticed that catching on?
No.
Not at all. And you know what just happened? Donald Trump just won the presidency. Guess what is not going to help it catch on? There's been no movement towards union. So, and you need that to even start this conversation. You need to organize the players. Okay. And that's not happening.
But here's the thing. Not all is lost here because, I have not heard a lot about Dartmouth unionizing, but in that catching on. But you know what I have seen? There is going to be some kind of sharing of the money.
You know what I have not seen is any confirmation on the House versus NCAA ruling. You think that's going to pass?
So allegedly July 1st is when you get revenue sharing, which is the word I was looking for. So a lot of the, instead of it just being NIL and boosters essentially paying to get players, now it is going to be more of a revenue share.
Maybe.
Well, doesn't it appear to be trending in that
No,
direction?
It does not at all.
Then why? How did people get this July 1st? Like, everyone's I'm hearing Bill Belichick on a dais talking about North Carolina, talking about revenue sharing.
It could be, but it's wildly up in the air. Nobody knows how that case is going to go. Did you see recently House versus NCAA, the revenue sharing case you're talking about?
Yeah.
The people on the House side wrote a letter to the judge saying, if you rule in favor of revenue sharing, you also have to court mandate that unions are created for these players, which obviously the court has no authority to do. But like, there is just like, it's becoming a mess. You know how college football is. You're assuming that there's some reasonable, orderly way this is all going to go down. I think it's just chaos. Well, and it's going to be more chaos. I agree. Listen, I'm playing a little devil's advocate. Yes, I like a commissioner and I do like a more firm contract and I do like this, like, move back. But you cannot predict college football. It's unruly and crazy right now.
It is. But at the same time, I've watched the sport change into something completely different in the course of 4 years. It's not like we had to wait all this time for NIL. NIL started, caught fire, started with the states, started spreading, transfer portal. It started, it was just going to be kids and young men and women who had like medical reasons or could apply to transfer right away. Now it's in 2 years, it's just transfer whenever you want, wherever you want. I've seen unprecedented change in the sport, and the sport continues. So I don't know why I wouldn't see that at a lightning pace.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't it keep going at this rate?
Yeah, no, it will, but it will not go in any predictable. I would start when Ed O'Bannon noticed his image on the video game. That's when it all started to me. And then won through the courts and got name, image, and likeness to become a thing. My point is, like, it's not going to be orderly. I think, like, there's going to be issues like this. And these guys, James Franklin, it just annoys me that James Franklin has an $85 million contract. And whether he's saying it or not, he's saying, like, this guy, I prefer that he didn't have to earn the highest paid contract. You know, I prefer that he didn't go for the money.
Well, whether he wanted to keep the backup quarterback or not, this is how the whole conversation started, is James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, who's in the college football playoff, playing Indiana. Is that game Friday?
SMU, right?
SMU.
Yeah. SMU, they play Saturday noon.
Yeah. Notre Dame's playing Indiana. How dare I forget that?
Yeah.
Indiana matchup. But here's the thing. He said that his backup quarterback just transferred, had to hit the portal because a starter said he's coming back.
Yeah, so...
And this is how our whole conversation started, which is Franklin said, I feel bad for the guy because he didn't want to transfer, number one, but the fact that the starter's coming back and now if he wants to start because he's a redshirt sophomore, he's got to leave the program.
Right.
And the only way he can do that under these rules is to do it before they play in the college football playoff. It does feel like a terrible predicament this young man's being put in.
So he's not saying that it stinks that he has to leave the program. He's saying it'd be better if it was after the playoff.
That's how I interpreted it.
But I also kind of interpreted James Franklin being a little greedy, be like, I wish I could just keep this guy on my depth chart.
Well, I don't think he was going to keep him unless Drew Aller was going to move on. So,
but I think he was implying, like, he's got to lead. Like, in the past, that guy could have stayed at Penn State because there wouldn't be a $2 million contract waiting at some ACC school. I think that was going on, too. Like, I think without NIL, Bo Pribula would have stayed, probably. I think.
He might just want to play. He might just want a chance to start. Now, the other interesting thing, did you guys see this as a tangential note? Did you see Brian Kelly, head coach at LSU, obviously, is matching a $1 million NIL pledge with his own $1 million?
I'm here with my family.
Expensive family.
Feels illegal.
Doesn't it? I'm like, okay, so now every coach should have to do that. What's stopping Dan Lanning and Deion Sanders and all these coaches that are making lots of money?
Also feels like a competitive advantage because he signed a massive deal that, you know, like Rhett Lashley doesn't have, right, at SMU.
He just signed a new deal, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still not like, you know what I mean.
What's, beep up, back. Explain what Brian Kelly's going to do. He's going to match, one player specifically for $1 million or multiple players, or how's this work?
There was an NIL pledge for $1 million. A donor, gave $1 million. You can use it as your discretion.
To the collective, right.
To the collective for name, image, and likeness. And Brian Kelly said he's going to match it with his own $1 million.
That doesn't feel like any kind. So he's going to donate $1 million to the collective. It's unusual, but it doesn't sound like a violation. How is that a violation? There's no salary cap.
No, I know. It's just...
coaches aren't supposed to pay players. NIL collectives are.
Right. Like,
so if he's contributing to the collective, isn't that coaches playing for paying for players?
Like, how it is right now is the collective sort of outside of the
school. It's not anymore.
But
I mean,
it's not really.
I mean, the schools are...
I mean, you literally have general managers of the school.
Yeah. Like, they have, like Ohio State had a $20 million budget this year. Everyone knew that. I understand. Like, you're saying, it's like, yes, a coach is technically not supposed to pay for players, but technically these collectives are supposed to be marketing. Like, they throw in a little marketing line into all the contracts. Yeah. I mean, it's a joke.
But now, shouldn't every coach, if you're making a significant amount of money, wouldn't you feel the pressure to do this? And why is it $2 million, $5 million? If I'm making Brian Kelly money, or I'm making, who else is super high paid? Marcus Freeman now just signed a new deal. If I'm Ryan Day.
Not at all. I would just hope the other recruits didn't hear about that. No, I would not give my own money. The key is, like, you gotta organize everyone to give their money.
Yeah, I know. And Brian Kelly is saying, I got you.
Yeah, I hate this. This feels, I mean, I know there are no rules. I know this is the Wild Wild West. This feels like it should be banned. I hate this.
I think it's generous of him. Like, why let the boosters pay if, like, this guy is getting overpaid like crazy? He's like, I'm going to give back some of this money.
Well, now I'm tinfoil hat. I'm wondering if the NIL collective told him, hey, buddy. This is your pay cut here.
Yeah.
Just like we saw the guy from FSU, Norvell, had to give back a bunch of money for stinking.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
This is that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
By the way, did you guys notice? I don't know if you follow in the pardons. Did anyone notice the famous booster who got pardoned?
No.
Oh, I saw it.
Nevin Shapiro, the corrupt Miami booster who was a big part of that, got pardoned by Joe Biden.
Has he been in jail this whole time?
He's been on house arrest for the last two years.
And doing podcasts, apparently.
Yeah, I just thought it was very funny. Like, why would Joe Biden bother? Like, does he have some tie to the Hurricanes? just feels like the most random. And the guy, luckily, was not in jail anymore. He was at home. But still, that is a weird, weird pardon.
Yeah, everyone from Miami's pissed. I assume it's something to do with Donna Shalala.
There may be a
Biden connect there.
She was a former
Democrat. She's the president. Yeah, well, she was president of the school, but yeah, she was a Democratic congresswoman.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was a cabinet member.
And
too,
a cabinet member.
Under Clinton.
There's something there.
That's so funny.
Did you see what Nevin Shapiro said on this podcast, though?
No, he has a podcast talking about what? College football and how to like sneak cocaine to underage people?
It's not his podcast, but it was actually on Adam Jones, Pac-Man Jones' podcast.
And that was allegedly, by the way.
Yeah, and he said that the Giants have already decided to draft Cam Ward.
Oh, I remember you had told me that. Let me ask you a question. Is Nevin Shapiro allowed to get in the NIL game? Because I assume now that everything's up front, he could be a very effective NIL organizer.
Miami should not take his money.
Effective? With what? The bracelet on his ankle?
Like, well, no, he's pardoned now. He's free.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, if you want to connect players with money, I think Nevin Shapiro is your guy.
Does he have any left?
He's a rat, though.
He can Ponzi scheme it up and get more money. I don't know.
That's so Miami.
Wait, who's
he a rat on the program?
What's that?
He's a rat on the program?
Yeah, he basically, because the program wouldn't protect him, he went and told the NCAA, hey, here's all the people I've been paying and all the weird strip clubs I've been taking them to. Like, he did all that.
Yeah, that's Miami football.
But you're not supposed to tell that to the Fed, bro.
Party on a yacht? I got dates, I got times, I got pictures.
Yeah, that's supposed to stay in-house. Like, if you get caught with a Ponzi scheme, that has nothing to do with the University of Miami. And now this guy is out free thanks to freaking Biden. Thanks, clown.
I love that EJ's like not mad that
he did it.
He's like, you got to hide that stuff when you illegally get players in here.
You have to lie to the authorities.
They're good at that in the SEC.
Exactly.
Well, that's the other part. Now we're kind of circling all around this about Brian Kelly saying that he's pledging $1 million of his own dollars to the NIL collective. Yeah. I'm like, how many coaches had to go through Bagman for years? You know, can never be traced back to them. Like, somewhere Rick Pitino is just like, what?
Yeah. But Garrett Nussmeier's coming back, so that's fun. LSU should be if they're not a top 25 team next year, so maybe Brian Kelly's money will go to good use.
Do you guys want a college football commissioner? We have a lot to break down with these matchups that are starting on Friday, by the way, which is super exciting. College football playoff in full effect. We also had a side conversation going on about Christmas, and I got a dilemma with my family, specifically my in-laws. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare, want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right, Maggie has a serious Christmas dilemma. She has tied her hands behind her back and will not online shop anymore. And also, she will not take wish lists. She does not want to know if you're buying a present for someone. She does not want to know what you want.
Well, my in-laws just do things very different than my family. They give each other specific links to exactly what they want. And this is not just the kids, by the way. This is the adults. They just, they make it very easy. I'd like this sweater. I'd like these slippers. Here's the link. So then when we actually get to Christmas, there's really not a lot of surprises. We just sort of open gifts. Now, we have a lot of kids in the family, so it's all exciting. And there's Santa and all that. But
yeah,
my family, we just surprise, whatever.
Right, I feel like for the kids, I get it, but like the adults, there's no joy in getting presents, right? Or are you guys actually still looking forward to getting presents on Christmas? I've been disappointed for years.
And you've been giving out the wish list, so it's your own fault that you're disappointed.
Well, just for my parents and my in-laws. Then, yeah, there's a couple random ones, but no, it's too much pressure on Tom and Carol to ask to try and figure out what I want.
I got you a gift card to your favorite restaurant last year.
That was awesome. that was huge. But so gift cards are okay, because that's another polarizing topic.
I love them, but I know that some people lose them.
Yeah, I lost that.
I know you did.
I tried. So Cheesecake Factory? You
no,
lost
juniors.
It?
I lost it. But Maggie says she can reclaim it.
I tried it. I made a call or two. It was tough. Craig's in Wisconsin. Craig, you have an idea for us.
Yes. First off, love the show. Love you guys. Starts my mornings out great. And Merry Christmas from Northern Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you. Same to you and yours.
Thank you. My idea has a little life lesson and competition involved in it. For the competition part, you could change it up every year, but I'm thinking maybe like a target, like a bow and arrow target type thing, and the kids get snowballs, 1, 2, 3, whatever, and the kid who gets the most cumulative points gets to pick their draft order.
Mm.
And you do, let's say there's 6 kids or whatever, you buy 5 gifts that are and then 1 good gift. And then the draft order decides when they pick these gifts, and it's a crapshoot, and it's a life lesson that not everything goes your way all the time.
Wait, Craig, first of all, this sounds a little like on the nose. It sounds like you've done something like this before. You just invented this out of thin air?
I swear to God, I was on my way to work and I heard this whole thing this morning, and I'm like, let's roll with this.
Okay.
I've never done this before.
Yeah. The other thing about that, and Craig, thank you for the call. It's inspired. Is Christmas morning really when we're doling out the life lessons? Isn't it just more about like joy and happiness and like a little bit of excess and, you know?
Manny actually said something in my ear during that call. He's like, just send out the links, dude. I'm kind of down with that. I'm like looking, a draft order? What?
I'm looking forward to my OG Anunobi jersey coming from my brother and my sister-in-law. You know why? Because I sent them a link.
No surprises, and you don't want to be surprised. Because if it shows up and it's RJ Barrett, you're going to be ticked off.
Oh, no, he loves RJ Barrett.
I love RJ Barrett. If it's an Elfrid Payton jersey, I'll probably throw it back at them.
Sorry, if it's Nerlens
Noel. Do they make those?
If it's a Raymond Felton throwback, you're not going to be happy.
That'd be sick.
That actually, I might keep that.
The chubbiest point guard to ever play in the NBA.
I was going to say, who's chubbier, him or your brother?
He was sitting courtside a couple weeks ago. Oh, boy.
Oh, no. I don't want to know.
It was on the road, too. I forgot who they were playing. I was like, oh, he did a road trip. And,
Do you know when there's a guy in Division
1? Stopped at every Wendy's on the way? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
When there's a Division 1 basketball game and there's a slightly chubby point guard, you're like, that dude can ball. Because if you can be chubby and get on the court like Khalid Al-Amin or somebody, then you got skills. It's like Maradona.
Those are the best college basketball players.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, Khalid Al-Amin was amazing.
Chubby the point guard, the better
chubby
you feel.
Chubby players are creative. Like, you never know if they're going left or right because they don't have the speed.
What was the guy, LaVance Fields from Pitt?
Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah.
What was the guy from Boston College who was a Celtic? I think John Bagley.
Oh, John Bagley.
Back in the day.
He played with my dad's cousin at BC.
There you go. No way.
Yeah, my second cousin, he played at BC, RIP, Terrence Talley. Played with John Bagley in Boston College.
I didn't know there was such a love for chubby point guards on this show. Maybe that could be our lane. It's like, so what's new about the Maggie and Perlo show? It's like, well, just running down our favorite chubby point guards.
Again.
Baron Davis, does he count? He kind of yo-yoed.
He was so athletic as a young player that it's hard.
Darren Williams?
Oh,
later
he was
years.
A great one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
After he signed that $100 million deal, all of a sudden it was like, whoa.
He was always a little heavy set, though.
Yeah, even early Utah days. And Illinois.
He was at Illinois. Was he there with Deep Brown?
He was. That was
and Luther Head. Sick. He was the third guard.
That was like the last great national championship game to me. Illinois, North Carolina. That game. Mm. Raymond Felton on the other side. Great chubby point guard match.
They just like they did belly bumps before the game started. By the way, we say chubby. These guys are maybe 1% overweight.
Yeah. Definitely. By the way, one person who wasn't 1% overweight who played in that game, Sean May. MVP.
Oh, many, many percents overweight.
Yes.
But he's a good assistant coach, I think, now.
Yes, he is.
the other, we need a great debate for tomorrow. I was thinking it should be something holidays related, but now I'm thinking it's best fat athlete.
Yeah.
Did we do that yet?
That's a tough
Can
one.
Can we do it? Is that, you mean, is
we
a PC?
We have not done that, but we should.
I get Big Sexy.
Bartolo, number one seed.
Who we learned used steroids and didn't work, apparently.
That was a shame. Also had a secret family. That was a fun headline.
There are a lot of, like, dependent, like, NBA. We could almost do just basketball players. Remember Tractor Trailer?
Of course.
Mark Aguirre was never thin. That guy was huge.
I know that we don't want to use the F word.
Husky.
Football, you can't.
It's like chubby. That seems pejorative.
Football, you can't do that, though. Because. Oh,
you can't tell.
I mean, those guys
bigger guys are all muscle.
Yeah, they're enormous.
No, that Titan defensive lineman who picked up a fumble and ran over four guys was not. He was fat.
DeAndre Sweat?
Yeah.
But what do you do with, like, Haloti Ngata?
He's fat. He could be on the list.
What do you do with Larry Allen?
Vince Wilfork.
No. Larry Husky. Allen and Haloti Ngata were not, like, there's some guys who are way bigger than that.
Yeah, but they all.
Ted Washington was gigantic.
What about Saragusa?
Oh, Vince Wilfork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wilfork. Gilbert Brown.
Wilfork could move. I mean, he's a guy that had quick feet.
That's why he's the best.
And fat feet.
Do you remember the Packers, Gilbert Brown, 96 and 97 Super Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
That guy was enormous.
He had the best football aesthetic because he had, like, he not only was he like 370, but then he had, like, the supersized shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And he had, like, that face mask that had, like, 100 lines on them and a dark visor. I'm like, and playing at Lambeau Field, I'm like, that guy is out to hurt people. I love Gilbert Brown.
Well, we basically just did it. Are we going to save it for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think Bogus's instinct that this is kind of a rude topic probably is like, yeah.
All right.
Because we're all pretty skinny over here.
We probably couldn't
speak
tweet.
For yourself, Perloff.
Tweeting who our favorite fat athletes probably wouldn't go over well.
We don't have to use the F word. I realize I shouldn't have said that.
Husky.
Big boned.
Yeah.
Big
boned. Are we getting the coaches?
Rotund.
Are we getting the coaches involved?
All the
oh,
coaches
man.
Would be game, set, match, Andy Reid.
Well, yeah, but he looks thin now, so I don't know.
He does?
What?
Yeah, Andy Reid has lost. I think he had, I mean, he's probably lost
off the
80 pounds.
Vitamin
you seen
O?
Andy Reid lately?
Ozempic?
Yeah. Andy Reid is not like Mike McCarthy's stomach. Now that's something to see.
But Andy Reid's not like Drew Carey thin.
I'll bet. All right. I could be totally wrong. I bet you he's lost significant weight.
Wait, the same Andy Reid? Is there a different Andy Reid who coaches somewhere else?
I will do
else?
A before and after photo that I will present to all of you in the next segment.
But he's still Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's all.
He's not Matt Patricia, who, like, the internet didn't know who he was on TV the other day because he's lost so much weight.
I mean, Andy Reid's literally doing a commercial where he says nuggies. And he, like, can't get enough of them. Bogus says headlines. We'll workshop this whole great debate, chubby athlete thing.
Headlines are sponsored by PXG Golf. For high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more, make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com.
You suck, Bogus.
The Vikings actually won twice this weekend. The first was Sunday night when they clinched their playoff spot because the Seahawks lost to the Packers. No champagne, though, was popped.
We just talked about it for literally, like, I think 5 minutes. I think that was about the celebration that we had last night.
Sam Darnold said that after win number two, 30-12 over the Bears, Minnesota extending its win streak to 7, joining the Lions at 12-2. It was another dud, meanwhile, for the Bears, who dropped to 4-10. Interim head coach Thomas Brown doesn't want to hear your speculation that his guys have quit on the season.
I think if you watch the tape, our guys battled into the very end. So I think saying that we don't have a lot left in the tank alludes to our guys quit. And I didn't see it at all.
But his offense couldn't produce 300 yards, went 1-for-12 on third down last night. The Falcons, held under 300, never reached the red zone, but they won in Vegas 15-9 to snap a four-game skid. Kirk Cousins just 11-for-17, 112 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Atlanta sits a game behind the Bucs for first in the NFC South, while the Raiders skid hits 10. They stay even with the Giants for the worst record in the league. Now, we joked about Oklahoma State QB Alan Bowman recently when the NCAA awarded him an eighth season of eligibility, but now Bowman's joking that 7 was enough, he declares yesterday, for the NFL draft. The Nuggets winning
That's like me declaring for the NFL draft. That dude ain't getting drafted.
Well, DJ declared yesterday, too.
Yeah, yeah. DJU.
If you want to have a fun time, read the comments on DJU's tweet that he's declaring for the NFL draft.
Don't want him reading a book that said CDL.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. I don't think the public is into DJU's
the draft decline.
Well, everyone's like, well, you know, maybe as a tight end if you're lucky, but like, what are there 14 rounds now? Is this a UFL draft? That kind of stuff.
Well, ouch. Alan Bowman's like, you know, social media post was signed the last Bedlam winning QB.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
In
but
1994,
like,
is that, when he was also the QB?
Is that what he's going to go on for the rest of his life?
Yeah.
Probably can.
Make a lot of money off of that. Oof. Alan Bowman Chevrolet. It just rolls off the tongue.
I saw a graphic the other day of Trevor Lawrence and Cam Rising being in the same recruiting class, and like their journeys were very similar. Like they were the same Elite 11. And now, you know, Cam Rising's coming back and Trevor Lawrence will be in year 6, I think.
I mean, does Cam Rising have like a family of four?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, actually, I don't know if he is coming back, but why not? Like a guy like Alan Bowman, he can't go pro. There's no pros for him, is there? Bogus, you can put on your draft hat.
Moving on to the NBA, the Nuggets won in Sacramento last night, 131-129, after trailing by 10 with 4 to go. Nikola Jokic, 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 14 assists. The Cavs, an easy 130-101 win in Brooklyn. And the Clippers hammered the Jazz, 144-107. All of that, an appetizer for the Super Bowl of the NBA. The Cup is up for grabs tonight in Vegas, as the Bucks meet the Thunder. Judging by the TV ratings and our conversation during the last break, we all needed to be reminded of that information. The NBA Cup ends tonight. It's the Bucks and the Thunder.
I was right.
You were right, but it Perloff didn't know, and it took you 45 seconds to be right.
I just had to think about it a little, and I arrived at the right answer.
It's fantastic. Meanwhile, a Stanley Cup rematch last night in Edmonton.
Back behind the net, Ekholm. Backhand near side. Missed the intended man. Mikkola holds it in. Down to Bennett in front. Verhaeghe, a shot. He scores! And the Panthers take the lead once again. It's 6-5. Carter Verhaeghe right out in front.
That is Panthers radio. Carter Verhaeghe getting Florida the 6-5 decision over the Oilers. In case you're fiending for a Paul brother in a boxing ring, Logan Paul apparently set to box, in air quotes, Conor McGregor in India in a date to be set. McGregor would then return to UFC.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The other Paul is going to box, loose use of that term, yeah, Conor McGregor, who's was going to be back in the octagon, hurt his foot, and now will do this and then fight MMA again in the future.
So Conor obviously fought Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I was at that fight, I'll admit. In India at a TBD time and play, a TBD, this could be 2025, this could be 2026?
I don't think it'd be 2026. No, I think it's more near term than that. It would certainly be within 2025.
I thought there was a question about, was Conor all buttoned up with things going on in his personal life? Are we still asking those questions or no?
Well, then he just lost a rape lawsuit.
Yeah, right. That's
so there's that.
In Ireland.
Civil lawsuit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And then he also has been the questions about PED use.
And just a lot of partying, I thought, too.
He just seems off the rails. I'm so sick of the
When was course. He on the rails?
I mean, true. But this seems, it seems a little extreme now.
And didn't people even question the injury that kept him out of the UFC thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, that they thought maybe the date got pushed back / postponed forever because he was out of shape?
Out of
or
shape,
something.
Or using something, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. I can't wait.
I got one more thing, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a little, a word of wisdom for our single young friend, Manny.
Is Manny single?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, holiday season, you can get a little lonely, but the advice...
What is happening?
The advice of doctors is to not take a lover just for the sake of taking a lover, because you might get snowmanned. Do you know that term?
I'm not familiar with it, no. Please
do you want
me
to get snowmanned?
I don't think so.
You could be in a snowmanning situation which is like the snow melting off a snowman is like the allure of the crush wearing off as the holidays end. And then you're back to lonely and or riddled with STDs, according to this New York Post article
Perloff
shared yesterday.
Yes. Can I read the headline?
Yeah.
Frosty snowmanning dating trend could spread STIs, doctors warn. So I said that. I'm like, oh, there's some sort of new move out there called snowmanning.
Start stretching.
Something I'm not aware of. I'm interested, and it spreads STIs? What is this move?
What just happened to me?
It just means finding someone in December, dating them, and then dumping them, and you could get syphilis from that, according to New York Post.
Oh, my goodness. What year is it? Manny's not on the Nita the Pinta and the Santa Maria.
He didn't say scurvy.
Yeah. Our doctor's warning against a troubling sexual winter trend of snowmanning that could leave you at risk for catching syphilis, herpes, and gonorrhea. And that's not to mention catching feelings.
Wait a minute. First of all...
So be careful, Manny.
Thanks for the wisdom, John.
So this just means casually dating in the holiday time ups your risk for an STD?
I mean, it doesn't seem too scientific.
Yeah.
Also, is there snow womaning out there? Like, we're just kind of assuming that
you want everything, huh?
Yes. Equal everything, guys. It's called feminism.
I don't think
get used to it.
I think it's for men and women. For some reason, they have
snow
They have a picture of a melted snowman.
Poor Frosty. My goodness.
I was going to say, Frosty and Olaf got together.
No. Does the feelings melt away like the snowman melts away as the weather changes?
I thought, where were feelings in this entire thing? Perloff added that at the end.
No, that's in there.
That's in there.
Yeah. I mean, however, once the drinks stop flowing and the decorations come down, sometimes the initial burst of chemistry wears off.
LOL.
That is true.
The drinks stop flowing.
I don't know. This seems a little suspect to me.
I feel like you do a lot of dumb things in December. Then January 1st, you're like, I'm going to the gym and I'm cleaning this whole act up.
Yeah, and then spring break happens and you make the same mistakes. That's why I'm not buying this.
EJ knows the calendar.
Yeah. Spring break.
Set your watch to it.
Christmas.
So STIs are just always out there, as you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
They're not calendar dependent?
Oh, that's exactly my point, is that there's no increase because, you know, the Christmas tree went up on Rockefeller Center.
It's seasonal STDs.
Thanks for the holiday gift.
Act like the Rockefeller Center tree is the bat signal for STIs. Come on now.
Oh, I got it. Sorry.
There's something about Rudolph that lit up red, but I thought it was the nose. I think it was a swab.
There's another term. Have you guys ever heard the dating trend, including sledging? And it's not what it sounds like. It's when a singleton drags someone along through the holidays with the intention of dumping them come New Year's.
Oof.
Sledging. So you basically need a day for the holiday parties. Have you ever done that, Manny?
Why am I getting singled out like this? No, I haven't. I have not sledged. I have not snowmanned. I have not STI'd.
You been sledged?
I don't think so, and if I have...
You wouldn't. She did a good job then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Here's the question, though. You want to have someone through the holidays and then nobody for the new year when it gets cold and dark and gray and lonely? Don't you want the person to stay with you?
No, you need that kiss on New Year's Eve, and then after it, it's
never
like,
heard of you.
Yeah, then it's like, I got to get the to-do list.
I got to get to the VD clinic. Snowmanning.
Take a 2 weeks worth of penicillin and get to the gym. That is my New Year's resolution.
Wipe down those machines, everyone.
Yeah.
Hose them down, more like it. 855-212-4227. All right, more on Manny's personal life and the Lions next. Welcome back. Dan Campbell fired up this morning on radio in Detroit, Perloff.
Like all mornings.
Yeah, the guy just wakes up, pounds a cup full of nails and just, I don't know, claws his eyes out for a little bit and then goes to work. So here's Dan Campbell on one of our sister stations in Detroit talking about how maybe the team has gotten a little too fat on their own success after winning 11 in a row and they got to get hungry again.
You know, what happens is, you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are, and we'll do that.
Okay, more from Dan Campbell this morning on the team moving forward.
I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one, you're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right? If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a smile from my ear to ear. All right? I can promise you.
Okay. I think the big question, so Dan Campbell on Detroit radio this morning, obviously, fired up. Can he back this up? Is this just words, or do you think Dan Campbell can back this up? Will the team all of a sudden get hungry again after he says they were punched in the mouth? And can the team win in a variety of different ways, he's saying, whether it's the defense leading the way or the offense? Can he actually back up any of these
guys? Well, I think there's a huge grain of truth here because they were so flat in the first quarter against Buffalo. They came out like they were not engaged. Like, remember the first three drives of Buffalo? They just storm right down the field. And I actually thought to myself, I'm like, why do the Lions feel like they're flat? This is a home game for them. So I think that's what he's addressing. I think this will actually wake them up. I mean, you saw then, okay, so they fall behind. The desperation on that team was incredible the rest of the game. Like those drives, like, man, I don't, as a NFC team, I don't want to see that second half Lions offense coming at me.
Yeah, but to be honest, I thought the desperation led to the biggest mistake of the game, and that was Dan Campbell's call to go for the onside kick way too early in the fourth quarter. I do not think that Dan Campbell can back this up, and it's not because of him. It's because this team is too injured. It has been too many injuries on the defense. It's now David Montgomery gone on the offense, and I know you have Jahmyr Gibbs, but you have just lost too much. Unfortunately, you're not going to be peaking at the right time. And I know that ended up being a close game against Buffalo, and it was a one score game, and it was a fun game, exciting. But I don't think that he can back this up where he's saying we got to get hungry again and this and that. I think it's less about mentality and more about who do you have left? Who are the bodies you have left on defense? Because if you are just going to be like we saw against Buffalo, you can't afford one slip up, one drive, and you don't connect, or the first three drives, and you don't score. You're playing catch up the entire way, and it's just not a formula to win.
You know, I think the only reason that game got close to the end is because of that onside kick. Because instead of having a 4 minute touchdown drive, the Bills had a one play touchdown drive, and the Lions, that saved a lot of clock because the Lions were not stopping the Bills. Nope. I mean, Josh Allen said, Josh Allen doesn't care about getting hit, so he can run on any time he wants. There's no way they were going to stop him. Actually, that worked out fine. Because what was the alternative? If he didn't do an onside kick, the Bills get their 30 and have a 4 minute touchdown drive. Because the Lions, you're right about the personnel, but there is this desperate, scratching Lions offense that does scare me. I mean, they are hard because they have so many weapons. Logan Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Jahmyr Gibbs as a passing weapon.
Okay.
I mean, just saying, like, that's not nothing. And I think that desperation, like, he needs to get that back. I totally understand where he's coming from.
You're right. They came out flat, which is inexcusable. But I get it. It happens. Teams left their foot off the gas. But here they are in a three-way tie for the top of the NFC with your Eagles and now with the Minnesota Vikings. Yes, they hold the tiebreaker. But this is going to be a crazy fight here at the end. And while the Lions have this quick strike offense that you mentioned, they can score in 20 seconds. But if you can't stop the run, you're going to run into a very similar problem that you did against Buffalo, which is if with a Lee McNeil out and missing guys on the defensive line, your opponent can just control the game. And the Bills' lines of scrimmage are not being confused with like number one lines of scrimmage in the league. And they looked really good in that game. And the offensive line for the Bills is good, and they've put a lot of resources in the defense. I'm not saying they're scrubs, but they looked really good in controlling at least three quarters of that game.
Right, but that was a lot of Josh Allen running, though. He had 11 carries. So, yes, the mobile quarterback will be a problem. And third down, like, there was no running on third down. It was Josh Allen running and either getting a flag or getting a first down. So I'm not sure anybody can stop that. I mean,
yeah, the Bills are getting 6 yards a carry on first down.
Yeah.
It was setting them up beautifully.
Yeah, but then eventually, like, whenever they did get him in third down, Allen would just move around and cause total havoc for the Lions defense. Yeah, I mean, I think you're actually discounting the opponent here. The Bills were pretty good offensively. I'm not sure the Lions will face an offense that good.
855-212-4227. Well, Dan Campbell's got him fired up. So here it is the rest of the way for Detroit. At Chicago, at San Francisco, and then what could be a winner-take-all for the division and the number one overall seed in the NFC, Minnesota, that final game of the regular season.
I don't know what it says. I'm just rambling right now.
At Chicago, that's a get-right game if I ever saw one.
Yes. E.J. Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. The advice is free, Manny. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos, and the Coffee Drinkers. You guys on the phones were fantastic today as well. See you tomorrow.